the translation and the purport. When Sita Thakurani came to the house of Shachidevi, bringing with her many kinds of eatables, dresses and other gifts, she was astonished to see the newborn child, for she appreciated that except for a difference in color, the child was directly Krishna of Gokul himself. Purport. A petri is a kind of big basket that is carried in pairs on the ends of a rod balanced over the shoulders. The man who carries such a load is called a bhari. The system of carrying luggage and packages is still current in India and other Oriental countries, and we have seen that the same system is still current even in Jakarta, Indonesia. Text 116. Sarva anga sunirmana suvarna pratima bhana sarva anga sulakshmanamaya balakera divya jyoti dekhi paila bahu priti vatsalyeta dravila hridaya. Translation. Seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child, each of his nicely constructed limbs, full of auspicious signs, and resembling a form of gold, Sita Thakurani was very pleased, and because of her maternal affection, she felt as if her heart were melting. Text 117. Okay. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. She blessed the newborn child by placing fresh grass and paddy on his head and saying, "May you be blessed with a long duration of life." But being afraid of ghosts and witches, she gave the child the name Nimai. Dakini and Shankini are two companions of Lord Shiva and his wife, who are supposed to be extremely inauspicious. Having been born of ghostly life, it is believed that such inauspicious living creatures cannot go near a neem tree. At least medically, it is accepted that neem wood is extremely antiseptic, and formerly it was customary to have a neem tree in front of one's house. On very large roads in India, especially in Uttar Pradesh, there are hundreds and thousands of neem trees. Neem wood is so antiseptic that the Ayurvedic science uses it to cure leprosy. Medical scientists have extracted the active principle of the neem tree, which is called margosic acid. Neem is used for many purposes, especially to brush the teeth. In Indian villages, 90% of the people use neem twigs for this purpose. Because of all the antiseptic effects of the neem tree, and because Lord Chaitanya was born beneath a neem tree, Sita Thakurani gave the Lord the name Nimai. Later in his youth, he was celebrated as Nimai Pandit, and in the neighborhood villages, he was called by that name, although his real name was Vishwambhara. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. And good morning to today's class. So what I'll do is I'll just recap a little bit, just slightly a few verses before, so we can put into context today's verses, because we've had the marathon class yesterday. Yeah? So it's been about at least a week since this was touched upon. So Jagannath Mishra, the blessed father of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, The moment that he saw that the signs of delivery were imminent, he sent a word. He sent a messenger to the home of Advaita Acharya. And the messenger informed Advaita that the fulfillment of your prayers is about to manifest in Navadvip Mayapur. Advaita Acharya became so happy that the very waters which he used to invoke the attention of Lord Krishna, the sacred Ganga, he went in there to bathe. And he took Haridas Thakur with him. Having bathed, Advaita Acharya and Shripad Haridas Thakur then left the Ganga and they performed a beautiful kirtan. And during that ecstatic moment, Advaita Acharya, he requested his wife, Sita Thakurani, to go and bless and visit baby Nimai. And Sita Thakurani, there's a very interesting point which is made 90 years after the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the great followers of the Gaudiya mission, whose name was Kavi Karnapur, he compiled a text called the Gaura Ganodesh Dipika. In that particular text, in verse 86, firstly, that book, the Gaura Ganod Desha Dipika, the book which illumines, for our knowledge, the previous births of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because as we know, according to the Vedic scriptures, Sango Pang Ashtra Parshadam, that when Lord Krishna appears in his with his incarnations, his entourage of associates all appear with him. And for humans and those on planet Earth, they get to see a glimpse of the spiritual world. It is not that just God appears, but God appears on this planet Earth with his associates who reside in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual world. And therefore, when the Lord appears with his associates, then he enacts his pastimes. Because for common people who are in the cycle of samsara, performing karma and receiving their reactions, wherein the amount of free will is so infinitesimal that there is practically no free will. Because a living entity performs so many actions. If you just imagine, from the moment that you woke up today up until right now, how many actions you performed. From the blink of the eyes, to the thoughts of the minds, to the steps of the feet, and the use of your fingers, all the way down to your speech. That's just been probably a few hours. For the brahmacharis and matajis who woke up 2 o'clock in the morning, that's probably many more hours than the common person, especially on a Sunday. Now, all of those deserve reactions. Every single part deserves reactions, because when God made the material world, he made it in such a way that it's a yantra, it's a prakriti, it's a machine. And he is very much in touch with his entire creation, which is why Lord Krishna, in his Paramatma feature, descends in the hearts of every living entity. Just that concept makes Krishna consciousness extremely unique compared to the world religions and the faiths and the philosophies. The fact that the Lord, who everybody tries to grasp with their mind, intellect and devotion, and those who use the same, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulnanda ki Jai, Sri Sita Lamakshmi Hanumana ki Jai, Shri Gaurnithai ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada ki Jai. And equally, those people who use the mind, intellect and other types of devotion to deride and to decry and to promote ignorance and falsity of the existence of God, that same God lives in the hearts of every living entity. And it is that God who lives in the hearts who from within, Jnana Deepena Bhashvata, the moment one looks inside, the moment one turns antarmukhi, as the Chaitanya Charitamrita later one explains, then God within the heart, he illumines one's path. He destroys, using the light of knowledge and the light of love, the light of grace, ignorance within. That concept is what makes the philosophy presented by Srila Prabhupada absolutely unique and very much sacred. Where there is life, there is sanctity. Every type of existence. And Therefore, when God appears in a material world, it is generally not in the karma of normal human beings, animals, to have an interaction with the Lord. It's not possible. Therefore, the Lord descends with his associates, so that he can then interact with those people who are qualified, who have descended to assist the Lord in performing his pastimes. And then us, history and the future, we then get to see a glimpse of how the Lord interacts in the spiritual world. And therefore, Kavi Karnapur, 90 years after the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he compiled this book so we can understand who every personality was who descended with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also in doing so, we add the credibility of the advent of Mahaprabhu as the incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna. In the Gaura Ganadosh Deepika, it explains that Sita Thakurani is Yogamaya. Yogamaya is that energy of the personality of Godhead which orchestrates everything spiritual. And the opposite of the Yogamaya is the Mahamaya, who in the material world manifests as Durga. Now, when Advaita sent Sita to go and see Nimai, now that we understand that she's the personification of Yogamaya, it all makes sense. Because the Yogamaya energy is the energy which creates and causes the appearance of the Lord in this world. And the Yogamaya energy initiates and begins the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, Advaita, he requested Sita Thakurani to go and visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sita Thakurani is one of the four females, or the four ladies, in the pastimes, the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who did two things. They inspired Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very important to note. Quadruple form of a group of ladies did two things. They inspired Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to conduct his Leela. Okay? And the second thing is, they supported and they promoted his mission. And these quadruple team of ladies are Shachi Devi, Vishnu Priya, the wife of Srivas Thakur, Malini Devi, and Sita Thakurani. Okay? So I'm just being very careful to make this very clear so that you can understand the background and context to what this verse is. So Shachi Devi, all of us know that in the Gaura Ganadosh Deepika, she is the mother of Lord Krishna. Okay? That's her previous birth. Vishnu Priya is the incarnation of Bhudevi, Mother Earth. Okay? The third of the quadruples was Malini. So in Vrajalila, when Lord Krishna was in Vrindavan, his dai, who is the wet nurse, who used to feed Krishna breast milk and look after him, was Ambika. That Ambika appeared as Malini, the wife of Srivas Thakur. And the fourth, Sita Thakurani, in verse 28, explains that she is the Yogamaya potency. Okay? So these are the four. So we'll only cover one. Okay? And you can read in your own time how the other three did those two things. Aspired Mahaprabhu and promoted and supported the Gaudiya mission. So Sita Thakurani, being the Yogamaya principle, the incarnation of Yogamaya, when she appeared to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm just going to read the translation because it can be a bit overwhelming when you go from one verse to the next. So in verse 15, when Sita Thakurani came to the house of Shachi Devi, bringing with her many kinds of eatables, dresses, and other gifts, she was astonished to see the newborn child, for she appreciated that except for a difference in color, the child was directly Krishna of Gokula himself. The moment you read this verse, what comes to your mind? The verse out of Bhagavatam, isn't it? Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sangha Pang Ashta Parashadam Yagya Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasha. So in order to establish and promote the worship of Mahaprabhu through the intelligent class of people, Sumedasha, Sita recognized that this is Krishna who has come in a golden complexion and bring into life this very important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially for followers in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, this verse is really the verse which gives us faith and initiates our acceptance of the personality of Chaitanya. Because the Bhagavatam towards the end predicts Mahaprabhu in this way. And Sita Thakurani, as the Yogamaya principle, she then welcomed the Lord in this world by offering all these gifts. In the next verse, seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child, each of his nicely constructed limbs full of auspicious signs and resembling a form of gold, Sita Thakurani was very pleased, and because of a maternal affection, she felt as if her heart was melting. Some of you may know that during the time where Bhishma lay on the bed of arrows, Yudhishthir was encouraged by Lord Krishna to hear from him his glories. Okay, so even the Lord is humble. This is a very important point. That while we promote humility in Krishna consciousness, even God is humble. And therefore in his presence, he asked Yudhishthir to hear from Bhishma. It's one of the largest sections of the 100,000 verse Mahabharata. So big. I don't even know how many verses there are. There are thousands and thousands of verses of instructions by Bhishma to Yudhishthir. He covers practically everything. And within that section, which I would say, after the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Lord's personally speaking, revealing his heart to all of us through Arjuna, the teachings of Pitamaha Bhishma are paramount, are very important. Everything, morals, ethics, devotion, atheism, sciences, every subject he covers, it's unbelievable. It's like an encyclopedia. And Bhishma, within his revelation, there is a particular section where he glorified the names of Krishna. And in the glorification of the names of Krishna, he recited especially 1,000 names, Sahasranam. And within that, he explains, Suvarna Varna Hemango Varangas Chandan Angadi, that I worship the form of Krishna who is Suvarna, who is golden in color. Hema Anga, whose limbs, just like this verse says, whose limbs are full of auspicious signs, and they're constructed as if they are just like molten gold. Varangas, chandad angadi. And on the body of this personality of Godhead is sandalwood pole, chandan. Then later on, in the very same 1,000 names of Lord Krishna, he explains, sannyasakrit chamashanto nishtha shanti parayana, that the three activities of this personality whose body has been described as being gold. Sannyasa Krich. He's probably the only incarnation of Krishna that will take sannyas. Chamashanto. He will propagate a method by which the entire universe can become peaceful. Nishtha Shanti Parayana. And he himself will be fixed in that process. That process of the chanting of Krishna's names. So once again, Yogamaya, in the form of Sita Thakurani, is bringing to life these revelations in the scriptures through her own example when she sees baby Nimai. And now the verse that we read today. She blessed the newborn child by placing fresh grass and paddy on his head, saying, "May you be blessed with a long duration of life, Jirajiva." But being afraid of ghosts and witches, she gave the child the name Nimai. So we all know that Mother Shachi delivered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under a neem tree. And when Sita appeared to bless the baby, she placed on his head two items: grains and neem leaves. This is very significant, because grains, as we all know, it is encouraged that we eat from the hands of those who are pure, or at least externally. And therefore in India, for example, you find that in high class families, only Brahmins come to cook. Okay? And unlike the terminology that we use in ISKCON, they're actually called Maharaj. Okay? So, the cooks are called Maharaj, without a danda. And they come and they cook. Because grains absorbs consciousness. So grains, even in the performance of fire ceremonies, havans, grains are used because they absorb one's consciousness and they represent the feelings of the hymns and the prayers that are being offered. Therefore, when the Yogamaya potency Sita wanted to bless the baby, she utilized grains as she placed them on the head of the baby. That child who was born under the tree of Nimai, of a neem, she used those leaves also to place on the head of the baby. And those neem leaves under which the baby was born, and those very same neem leaves that were used to bless him with a long life, were also used as the inspiration for his name, Nimai. Especially in Brahmin families, obviously Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Mishra, they form that community. Children receive two names, Abhiprayaka and Lokika. So the Lokika is the worldly name, the name by which all people will call upon that child. Nowadays on the passport and all legal forms. Then you have the Abhiprayaka. The Abhiprayaka, or the Rashi Nam, is the name which represents the destiny of the child, taken from the calculation of one's Jyotish, one's natal chart, one's astrology. And therefore, 10 days later, when the grandfather of the child came to perform the name-giving ceremony, he was given the name Vishvambar. But his Lokik Nam, the worldly name, was given by Sita, which was Nimai. And that was the name by which all people knew him by, and not really the name given by Nilambar Chakravarti. The Rashi name, or the name derived from one's destiny, which has been placed out and positioned and mapped into a particular astrological chart, that name is only used for ceremonial purposes. For example, at times of the samskaras, or giving donations. And that is the name by which the Lord recognizes you. That name is generally kept secret, because while nowadays the general understanding is there's nobody else apart from me who is important, what to speak of other humans and other animals, in the previous ages, generations, even beings who were non-humans were considered to be an important part of life. And there was an awareness and consciousness of those. So therefore, while some of you may not be able to understand and relate to some of the words in here, I'll try to explain why witches and ghosts are being on the mind of Sita Thakurani. It's not something which is common in this generation to be conscious of. But in previous generations, and those who are broad-minded, they still understand the existence of beings who are just not like ourselves. And this was the case when this child was blessed. When Sita Thakurani placed the neem leaves on the head of the child, and she gave this blessing, "May you live a long life." This blessing actually was the very same blessing that the mother of all the demigods, of all the celestials, had also attended to give. She also did the same thing. Her name is Aditi. And when Aditi gave the same blessing, it was translated to mean, may the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be long-lived. That's the meaning of the word Jirajivi. Okay? It is not just material ayu, vardhana. It is just not material age to be lived long. It's actually the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, his mission, may that be long-lived. And that was the blessing that was given by Aditi, and the same blessing was given by Yogamaya, or Sita, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She used neem leaves. In the Vedic culture, you have three things to invoke celestial energies, grace of the Lord. You have prayer or mantra. Then you have the celestial form of the Lord that is the personification of the prayer. Okay, two things done. Then you have the third item. In the material world, in order to access the prayer and the celestial or the murtiman, the personification behind the prayer. So for example, with the Mahamantra, Brahma explains to Pipalata Rishi in the Atharva Ved that the Devata or the Ishtadev, the personification of the Mahamantra is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay? In this way, all hymns have a personification. And then to access the personification of the hymn and the personality of the deity, they both manifest in the material world as a material element known as a herb. Or for those who are Americans, herb. Okay? So you got the herb, you got the deity, and you have the mantra. Okay? So neem leaves were used. So neem is a celestial herb, which is grown in the material world. And as Prabhupada explains in the purport, Uttar Pradesh, for example, is full of them. Probably because there's more ghosts than witches in Uttar Pradesh. Trying to be humble. Okay. And the deity behind neem is very significant. It is the wife of Lord Shiva, Durga. Durga is the deity behind the neem leaf. And when these items were placed on the head of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she gave him the name Nimai. Now the understanding is that nobody is greater or more powerful than God. But the Yogamaya potency, now this is where you have to just think very, very carefully, okay? That the Yogamaya potency, that itself to initiate the spiritual pastimes, the Yogamaya potency herself, personified in the form of Sita Thakurani, she herself has to undergo that transformation. And therefore she forgets that this baby is God. Because the pastime has to be genuine. It can't be, you know, yeah, I know he's God, but I'm going to pretend he's not God. It doesn't really work like that. Manifestations of ecstatic love, like crying, repellation, and tears, those things can't manifest when you pretend. Okay? So for example, India, there's so many pretenders, huh? In the Gita, Krishna talks about Mithyachari, the pretender. So you can't pretend when you're interacting with the Lord. Therefore, the Yogamaya potency herself, she feels that this person needs protection. Now, one other reason why this person needs protection is it's because this baby is going to establish the process by which all living entities can elevate their consciousness and start to understand about Lord Krishna. Therefore, she was motivated to give this blessing and use the neem leaves. Now, in the Vedic culture, some people, they would say that the histories of India are myths. But within the native culture, this is not accepted. And the main reason why, apart from many, many reasons, one of the reasons are because whatever took place in history has its remnants in society even today. It is not possible for a person to write multiple dozens of books that are not just 100, 500, 1,000 pages, but are millions and millions of stanzas. Just the Rig Veda is 432,000 verses. And those verses are not like the Gita or the Bhagavatam. It's huge. It's massive.
Mahabharata 100,000, Ramayana 24,000, Srimad Bhagavatam 18,000, all 18 Puranas, 400,000 verses. So it's not possible for one person to write all this book, and at a time where there's no WhatsApp, there's no internet, there's no phones, there's no mobiles, to suddenly say to every person in India, everyone needs to know the name of Krishna. Everyone needs to know that he's blue. Everyone needs to know that he picked up Govardhan Hill. Everyone needs to know that he had a wife called Rukmini. And in his previous birth, there was Lord Ram, whose father was Dashrath. And actually, Dashrath had three wives. And those three wives were barren. And then a rishi came and formed a ceremony. And then he had so many years of pastimes. And then there's another incarnation called Varaha. And then there's Vamana. And there's Hiranyakashipu. There's Narasimha. It's absolutely absurd for the intelligent class of people in this planet who think that it is remotely possible for the Indian history to be a fabrication. They are absolutely mad. It's just not possible. Everyone in India knows about what happened in the Vedic culture. And even outside of India, there are influences. All the kings of all of the countries in this planet of this surface perished by the war orchestrated by Lord Krishna. Which is why non-Indians do not know the history of the Vedic culture, apart from a few remnants. Because the king, it wasn't a democracy. Maybe you know some of the reasons as to why democracy doesn't work, especially this year. You probably know, okay, in the greatest of countries in the planet, why democracy has to be also led by those who are the intelligent, educated class of people. Those who are not aspiring for money, wealth, fame, prestige. That is why, that even in India, it was not just a dictatorship. That didn't exist. The king was guided by people who externally and internally are renounced. You cannot lead society, you cannot be an example, when you are a recipient of the laws. Taxes, opulences, houses, clothes, beauty, fame. You have to be exempt from all those things. Therefore, not many people took those roles to guide society. Because you have to be a beggar. Only a beggar can lead society. And that beggar is rich and enlightened by knowledge of God. And by the reality and truth of the world. It was underneath that type of leadership that Krishna managed the affairs of the entire planet for millions of years through his representatives. It was not just the Western concept of dictatorship versus democracy. The mind of Krishna is so beautiful that the intelligent people who are not aware of the scriptures of Krishna cannot comprehend his ways. If man, through his mathematical and university knowledge, was able to comprehend the ideal society, then God would not be God. Which is why even the most intelligent people, they have to read the Vedic scriptures to understand what God wanted. You can't, in your own ways, contemplate and try to perceive and understand what you think is ideal society. It won't work that way. So in the story of Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we find that history, even to this day, is followed in India. Therefore, the existence of Dakini and Shankini is accepted. Dakini and Shankini were two people, two entities who were blessed by Lord Shiva to have the ability to devour and to eat babies. And secondly, to possess and inhibit the bodies of humans. Okay, so I'm now moving on from the factual to now the cultural understanding. So these two personalities have been given the benediction and the boon to do these two things. So for example, when diseases, famine, when other types of crazy behavior, which are not common to an individual, the Garuda Puran explains it's because of the existence of a Pret, which is another living entity. So for example, somebody who's attached to alcohol, somebody who's attached to other types of vices, it is said that it's because of the existence of the Pret.
or another living entity. And Dakini and Shankini, these two personalities, are given the role in society to obstruct goodness. And therefore, children who are especially, living entities who are especially meant to do good in this world, these two beings, they attack them. Now, Durga Devi, who is the wife of Lord Shiva, because of her power, she's able to obstruct that onslaught. Now, in the Vaishnava tradition, there's not too much of an emphasis on the feminine energy of Lord Krishna in the material world through the agency of Lord Shiva, i.e. Durga, Chandi, Kali, Bhuvaneshwari, Uma, Parvati. If you even contemplated who these females were, you'll be shocked. Because they were the most strongest. They were the most powerful. Even Lord Shiva had to also accept defeat from the hands of his wife. You know, if you look at the form of Kali and Durga, I mean, men will get scared. You know? The energy, the female energy in the Vedic culture, it's very, very, very powerful, extremely powerful. No person can come and protect themselves when that energy becomes angry. Okay, but obviously we don't focus too much on that, which is probably why the sense of empowerment of females is not so much. Because we don't really promote and discuss the power of the opposite gender in the Vedic in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but the existence is there, okay? And therefore, men are very much conscious and aware to not, you know, to be quite honest, mess with the best. Okay, so Durga Devi, okay, in her loving form, she appears as neem leaves, and she's able to protect Nimai. So Yogamaya uses the Mahamaya principle in the form of neem leaves to protect the baby. And in order to continue the protection of the baby, she gives the name of neem to the baby. And therefore he was called Nimai. Yeah? And it was that same Durga Devi who protected, because obviously those days they were not, you know, all these doctors and hospitals for childbirth. It was very natural. And there was a dependency on nature. But what's very interesting is that during the previous generations, where there was a dependency on nature and dependency on having a natural birth, at the same time, there was an increase in the faith towards God. Because you would pray to God that the mother and the child both survive after delivery. It wasn't just, you know, doctor, nurses, please deliver the baby. It was actually, the whole faith and the focus was on God. And therefore so many prayers were performed and so many ceremonies were performed so the child and the mother can survive childbirth. And many obviously wouldn't, as you may have guessed. And that personality, the Yogamaya, in her shadow, as Brahma Samhita explains, Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga, she appears as the neem tree. And she was protecting Mother Sachi and the baby while he was about to be delivered. And the protection lasted for his entire life. And therefore he was called Nimai. Dakini and Shankini, because they're mentioned, I'll take a few moments just to share a little bit about the background. Is that okay? Because you'll be like, who's Dakini and Shankini? So there's this beautiful story about the demon called Tripurasura. Just put your hands up if you know about Tripurasura. 1, 2, 3. Okay, majority don't know. So I will just summarize very quickly. So Tripurasur, he, as most of the demoniac race and people who don't want to give their independence up to God, they want to be immortal, as is the tendency for even the common person to be immortal or to never die, free from disease. So his actual name was Tarakasur, and I'll explain why his name was Tripurasur in a few moments. Three of his sons, who were Viryavan, Taraka Aksha, and Bidyun Mali, they went to Mount Kailash and they performed tapasya. And as usual, after months and months, they would stand on 1 foot, they would stop eating, they would then stop their life here, and in this way, they would suffocate and cause problems to material nature through their own internal power
of control of the prana. Pacham anya chaturvidam. The five life airs, as Gita explains. And the five life airs that are connected to Brahman, or the wider energy permeating the entire universe, can be used to control the universe. It's yoga. And these three sons of Tarakasura, they invoke the presence of Brahma. And it says to Lord Brahma that we would like to become immortal, because we believe that our race should survive, and by us being immortal, we can perpetuate our destiny. Brahma said, you can't be immortal. It's not possible. Same answer that he gave to everybody else who wants immortality. Amritattva. He said, you can't be immortal. It's just not possible. Now, the three brothers were very smart. They said, okay, what is the next best thing to immortality? Let's get that. The next best thing is as follows. Firstly, we want to procreate and expand our community, our generations. And for that, we want to take over the heavens, the earth, the sky, and the earth. Our generations of our community are going to be so vast that we're going to take over the heavens and the sky and the earth. Not just the planet, not just the earth. You see how intelligent these people are? It's not just about the country or about the planet. They think beyond the land and the sky and the heavens. So even those people are very intelligent, you know. Nowadays they're very limited. And they said, we would like you to create three large forts, large residences. Those residences in the heaven and the earth and the sky and the earth should be made of respectively gold, silver, and iron. These will be the residences of our community. Okay? Gold for the heavens, silver for the sky, and iron for the earth. And now comes the... So Brahma was thinking, it's fine, no problem, no big deal. Vishwakarma can come and do that for you. What's the whole point about immortality? Here is the catch. Okay, very smart. Every thousand years, for 1 second, these three residences will come together. Tripuri. And when they come together, if somebody... in that 1 second, every 1,000 years, is able to fire one arrow, a celestial arrow. And that arrow has the potential to destroy those three residences in 1 second, every 1,000 years, then we will all accept death. That is immortality. In one grade down. Okay? So every 1,000 years, 1 second, the three places come together. If somebody can attack and achieve victory in that 1 second, we'll accept defeat. So they lived. They lived for so many years. They were so happy living in this way. Every 1,000 years, the three residents will come together, called Tripura. It's a bit like three families coming together and saying Hari Bol and hello. And then after 1 second, great, I'm so glad that person is now gone. I can now live my own life. You know, for 1 second, you're hospitable with the other family. And then after that, you're back to your own residences. Okay? So that was the art of relationships during those days. And then the demigods were so afraid. They were saying, what is going on? We have no place to live. Because every second, every 1,000 years, nothing's happening to us. We have no place to survive. They approached Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva said, but there's nothing that I can do, because they're very nice people. They're very, very nice people. They come together every 1,000 years for a second, and there's no fighting. And for the remaining 999,000 years and 59 seconds, they live happily in their own families and communities. It's unity and diversity. It's amazing. The demigod said, but we have to find some fault. We have to do something, because we're not going to be able to exist. And we can't continue like this, because everybody being born are of their caliber. So they approached Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu said, okay, in order to help the demigods, in order to make sure that society can continue, I'll do something. From his grace and energies and mercy, he manifested one old-looking, very, very noble sage, a Brahmin. And when he manifested, he said, "My dear Lord, what can I do for you?" Lord Vishnu said to him, "I would like you to go into the race of the Tripuris, and I would like you to promote to them all of the things opposite to God consciousness. I want you to tell everybody there's no God. You should stop worshipping the deity. There's no such thing as karma. There's definitely no such thing as a soul. You definitely don't reincarnate. You can do whatever you want. There'll be no God. You know, live your life to the maximum. Try to work out things. Make lots of money. And that's basically the end of it, really. You know, fight, love, do whatever you want." So this Brahmin went and he preached this philosophy. And as you can imagine, just like today, the philosophy was very attractive. Everybody loved the philosophy to be free, which is why even that same philosophy is attracted even today, and it's the most greatest religion, it's the most greatest faith, it's the most greatest movement that this world has ever seen, the movement of atheism, of the ignorance of our consequences of our actions, our ignorance of the obligation towards society and towards others, especially those who are less than us in wealth and opulence and intelligence, etc., etc. And therefore, this philosophy became world spread, sky spread, and heavenly spread. It was everywhere. Then they stopped worshipping, for example, the Shiva Linga. Demigods went to Lord Shiva. They've become atheists. They must be destroyed. They've even stopped worshipping the Shiva Linga. She said, "Really? We can't have a society who completely decried and who completely are ignorant of God's teachings. We cannot have a society like this." He asked Vishwakarma, "Please make a weapon that I can use that in one split of a second is able to destroy all three residences." Vishwakarma created the Pashupat Astra. The Pashupat Astra. Such a powerful weapon. This is the Pashupat Astra that was the most fearsome weapon during the battle of the Kurukshetra. This is the Pashupat Astra that Arjun renounced his brothers, his wife, and the entire society to go and achieve. And in fact, it is this Pashupat Astra that Lord Shiva appeared as a bull and as a hunter to come and test the strength of Arjun. And they had a fight. Can you imagine? Arjun, who appeared later as Ramanand Rai, sweet Ramanand Rai, Arjun had a fight with Lord Shiva. And in that fight, after Lord Shiva was pleased, he gave Arjun the Pashupat Astra. That Pashupat Astra was made by Vishwakarma for this purpose. And he needed a charioteer who can see everywhere. And there's only one person that can see everywhere. Chaturmukha Brahma. The person who has four heads can see everywhere. There's no escape from him. So he requested Lord Brahma, "Can you please be my charioteer?" Lord Brahma accepted the position of being a Sarathi, and they waited for that split moment. The time came when 1,000 years was due. The three residences came together, and in that 1 second, Lord Brahma, he took this golden chariot into the center where Lord Shiva invoked the Pashupat Astra, and through the Pashupat Astra, he destroyed the Tripuri and Tripurasur. After destruction of this, it's a huge story, okay? But I'm just like summarizing in my own offensive ways because it's such a beautiful story. Then, these two personalities and the teachers of that philosophy, they said to Lord Shiva, "What do we do?" Because the teachers were a bit detached. They weren't part of that race. They were teaching this philosophy. Lord Shiva said, "As far as the teachers are concerned, you'll be born in Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, you will have the opportunity to promote your philosophy." Which is why most of the world follows their philosophy. Does that make sense? Atheism is a benediction by Lord Shiva to those personalities that were initiated into these teachings from the Brahmin who was appeared from Vishnu. Okay, does it all make sense? All right, that's the thread. Okay, so even current society comes from the Vedic histories, right? So it's amazing how you can't actually rid yourself from Vedic histories.
These two personalities, they said, so what did we do? They were given the benediction to reside in forests and to have those two abilities that I spoke of later. For those who have astrological, malefic energies, they will take advantage of those and give them their diseases, give them their vices. And for newborn children, they will then be able to obstruct their goodness that they are meant to bring with them in this world by creating either miscarriages or by creating untimely death or by creating diseases which are irrecoverable. And therefore, Sita, knowing the histories, which were common stories, right? Now, like nowadays in the world where people talk about politics and about geography and about different types of gossip, in the previous generations, the speeches and the topic of conversations was the pastimes of the Lord, which is why there are so many. The reason why there are so many pastimes is because it would be boring otherwise. You see? So therefore, the gossip and the discussion was about, did you hear the Lord Ram left his wife? Did you hear what his wife did and how she raised two children? Isn't that so bad? Isn't that so good? Let's discuss it. And then you have all the other incarnations of the Lord. Then you have sweet leader like what Lord Krishna does in Vraja. And there are so many other types of activities. And people's lives were filled with this because the newspapers and the media only had topics from the scriptures to promote. There was nothing else. There was nothing more better than that. Every type of topic is in the scriptures. Nothing else outside that can happen in the world can be separate from the scriptures. Therefore, in the Mahabharata, even it explains that whatever is in the Mahabharata, okay, is everywhere else. But whatever there is not in the Mahabharata will never be anywhere else. That's the opening line of the Mahabharata. And therefore, topics of conversations were such that everyone knew. As you live a life and as you've grown up 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, by the time you become grandparents, for those that want to become grandparents, they would know so much about the histories. And therefore, they would practice those. Therefore, she placed the neem leaves on the head of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave him the words Nimai. And Sita Thakurani, in the 2 minutes that I have, very, very quickly, Sita, she was considered to be one with Sachi. Her and Sachi had the same affection and relationship with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, she would be the one who would daily visit the house. There was she had two homes, one in Navadvip and one in Shantipur. Advaita Acharya was married to both Sita and her sister Shri. Okay, there were two sisters, and these are the two houses they had. And in Mayapur residence, Sita would visit every day the home of Jagannath Mishra, and she would help Sachi in raising the baby. She would look after the baby. And some of the significant pastimes that took place in her life were that, I mean, there's so many, just a very, very few. When Vishwarup became Shankar Aranyapuri, when he became Sannyasi, the older brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was Sita who consoled Nimai, because he was missing his brother. He had such a nice relationship with his brother. And also, Sita was consoling the parents, Shachi and Jagannath. And then also, when Mahaprabhu went to Gaya and received initiation by Ishwarapuri, when he came back transformed and he established the Hainam Sankirtan, the first person to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Sita, Thakurani, and Advaita. When Mahaprabhu also took sannyas, for 4 days, Sita Thakurani stayed in the house of Shachima, and she consoled his wife Vishnupriya, who is Bhudevi, and Sachi Devi. For 4 days, she didn't eat. And as you know the story, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was excited and enthusiastic to go to Vrindavan. And as you know the story, he was diverted back to Shantipur. And when he went to Shantipur, he also had not eaten for 4 days. Sita was the person who cooked for Mahaprabhu. And through her cooking, Mahaprabhu broke his 4-day fast on his way to Vrindavan. And even Sita had fasted for 4 days. And even after sannyas, he would come and he would eat at the home of Advaita. And Sita Thakurani would feed him regularly. In this way, she was always very, very close to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And
Sita Kurani, in this way, she developed Vatsalya Bhav, Vatsalya Prem, or parental, maternal affection towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he always considered her to be his mother. She was a great acharya. She had phenomenal disciples in the Gaudiya tradition. And one of the most famous disciples that she had, just to demonstrate, was the disciples who were actually the incarnation of Jaya and Bijay. Jaya and Bijay, when they approached Sita in their forms, as Nandaram and Jageshwar Chakravarti, and they asked her for initiation, she said, "No, I don't initiate men." Okay? That was her style. Okay? That was her etiquette. That was her circle of culture. And then when she agreed to do so, she gave them a particular mantra. And these two personalities immediately transformed into females. And those two female personalities became then her disciples, ready to be taught by her. And they became the famous Jangali and Nandini. And she also raised her children, of which the most senior was Achyutananda, yeah, who was very, very greatly favored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, she helped to lead the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whose recipients we are today, and whose recipients many people will become through the marathon in the next few days and weeks. I ran out of time, so I'm really, really sorry. Thank you for tolerating this 40, 45 minutes. Is there any comments or questions you would like to make?